It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Support for GigPod is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free delivery with the code GigPod at manscaped.com.
Hello, and here we are, back for another season of the Glasgow's Green Podcast, aka GigPod, covering Celtic in as close to half an hour as possible, delivering world-class patter and fighting off every legal department that contacts us. We're going to have to see how Hayley Williams' lawyers get on with us later this month, as Spunk Phone's not taking the news of her new boyfriend very well. Anyway, I'm Stevie, and I'm joined by the man who cannot take a day off from social media. It is our very own Spunk Phone. Hello there, brother.
You've done me a bit dirty with the intro there, Stevie. That was a low blow, but no. Thanks very much for having me on. Great to be chatting with yourself again, and good to be on the podcast now, getting to talk about a brand new season rather than the shit show that was last year that seemed to just drag on forever. So no, looking forward to it, mate.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. And the season is brand new, but certain people that play for Celtic are not. But we'll get into that later on, because we right now have to just say, the Premiership years are nearly over, Spunk Phone. I've only got one more to go. I recorded the April one with Boys Analytics, and then I've got one to do with Rizzo, if he can get off his deathbed. More on that later, fans. But honestly, that's why you can hear it in my voice, Spunk Phone, when I'm doing these Premiership ones. It's like being taken to a certain camp where atrocities were committed. Whereas the new, it's like going to Disneyland, being on with you. It is brilliant.
I know, thank God. I mean, I've listened to the last couple. You know, they were great. To an extent, obviously, but I can hear it in your voice how just sick and tired you are of talking about last season. So no, it's good that that's nearly out of the way.
Correct, it's away. So getting into it now, this season is what we want to talk about, and I am full of energy and zest. Even though we drew one each tonight, I was fine after it. I didn't feel demoralised or anything. But first off, what I talked to you about fans getting back into the stadium, I was quite emotional actually, seeing a barely full Celtic Park again. And I have to say, I'll never moan again about 10,000 fans at a jobber game ever. So that was just a welcome sight, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I think it was great seeing, obviously, 2,000, as ridiculous a number as it was. It was great to see some fans, obviously, back in the stadium on Saturday. But it made a big difference tonight, even just the jump to 9 or 10,000. And you heard the difference as well. So, no, it was great. I know McGregor as well was saying post-match it made a big difference for the players. So, hopefully that's us right back in the right track now. But I wouldn't put anything past a wonderful Scottish government who we've never criticised, Stevie.
Excellent. I just love how your wee mini reads over there. And you know what? Do you think it was weird how we didn't hear the Scott Brown song in the background today? It kind of hit me hard.
I'm sure they'll roll it out for when he comes back with Aberdeen, Stevie.
Oh, I didn't think about that, bastard. Right, okay. Well, this has been episode whatever a gig pod. I'm going to have to cancel it here. But no, seriously, I've done my Frank Lampard there. That was absolutely not meant there. But so pre-game, Large Angelos said that it's a special game, special in terms of the club's traditions, and he was looking forward to it. Said, it's a big, exciting game. The club wants to be involved in Champions League football, and we can do that tonight in front of our supporters. We want to play the football, we want to play and set the tone for our season. It doesn't really matter how ready we feel. The reality is it's tonight. The supporters want to see us at our best, and that's what we've got to be prepared for. And again, when we heard these type of sound bites coming from a certain other manager, you never felt there was a lot of conviction with it. But when you heard Ange speak before the game, he's a serious man. He knows that he can't make any excuses. We have to be ready tonight. And it was all about not getting beat, I thought, tonight. A lot of fans I'm seeing on Twitter and everything were a wee bit disappointed, some even dismayed, and getting right into the hyperbole as always, just because we conceded a goal. But I feel tonight the big one was starting this new regime, we're not getting beat. That's personally how I feel. But what about yourself?
No, I mean, we'll get into talking about the game in a bit more detail, but I did think there was plenty of positives from it. My feeling going into the game was, I think, the same as everybody else. We felt as if, once again, we've sort of shot ourselves in the foot. We've not prepared well enough for these games like we tend to do every summer. But I mean, this year's ridiculous. Some of the players you're seeing featured in there, I mean, young boys at 18, 19 coming on for us. But I thought, again, we'll obviously get into the game in a bit more detail in a moment, but I thought there was plenty of positives to take from it. And yeah, I probably agree with your way of thinking there. I don't think it draws a bad result tonight for us.
Definitely not. I feel, you know, he lined us up as well as he could, considering we knew that the Eddie Howe delay and the dilly-dallying cost us a proper pre-season. We played catch-up, hiring the big man himself, and I felt he actually coped okay in his first game. When I look at that team, Barkas, Ralston, Welsh, Beaton, Taylor, McGregor, Sorrow, Turnbull, Abada, Christie and Edward, I was surprised not to see James Forrest starting, but I thought the boy, Abada, looked really, really good. He was excellent in the first half. And you've got to say that, certainly in the first half alone, despite what we're going to come on to, with 8 players costing us, Angie actually set the team up pretty well when we came right into the game after a 15 minutes where both teams never really inspired. And I felt as if the ball was played in their half quite a bit in the first sort of quarter. But then after that, we came right into the game. I thought McGregor led very, very well. The goal, we were well worth it because we'd been dominating it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think he set us up as well as he could have. Particularly with the personnel as well. I was pleasantly surprised, to be honest, when you seen that supposedly leaked or rumoured team.
Forwarded many times.
I was thinking and fearing the worst, but I was pleasantly surprised to see Christie, which is something we didn't say much last season. Edward as well in the lineup, and Abada as well. And like you say, it was outstanding in the first half until obviously I took him off because of a certain idiot centre-half who's not actually a centre-half. Again, there was plenty to be enthused about with that performance, and I think Ange showed that he is a sort of serious operator. He did set us up as well as he could have tonight.
Definitely. Now, you wanted an opening tirade regarding Neil Beaton.
I'm sick of this guy, Stevie. I am sick of this guy. Every year, we go into these qualifiers, right, and we've got to shoehorn them into team at centre-back because we never prepare adequately for these games. Cost us a stupid mistake back in January at Ibrox in what ultimately turned out to be a pretty meaningless game in that shit show of a season. But again tonight, the first yellow card, I've no idea what he's thinking that high up. He's always going to get beaten for pace. This is a thing. And it was kind of similar almost to the one at Ibrox, wasn't it? In terms of, he's really just got himself completely caught out with how high a line he was playing in. And then obviously with the sending off, I mean, what an idiot. Honestly, they're not going to get the penalty. It was offside for a start, to be fair, so I think the linesman should have seen that. It was probably too close to the actual play, I think. But what was the need for that? Honestly, they're not going to get the penalty. Referees, you know, waved it away. The guy got booked in the end for diving, and Beaton's just absolutely lost the heat. I'm sick of this guy, Steve. I never, honestly, I know I don't want to be too reactive, but I honestly don't want to ever see him play for Celtic again. He's a liability.
Would you genuinely have him out the door tonight if it came to it?
I'd have him away.
Because the boy, Abada, as well, it really hindered him because he was playing so well for us. He scores a fine goal, and then he finds himself off the park because of Beaton's stupid error. And then it means Abada, who's started so well, the momentum is lost with Abada, and then he's having to go, and that's it. He's off the park for the second half. And that wee things like that, where that ridiculous decision by Beaton has a knock-on effect, and you just hope for the second leg next week that Abada continues in the frame of mind like he did tonight, because I thought he was absolutely excellent, did you?
Yeah, no, he was brilliant. Very direct, I thought he was. Every time he got the ball, it was, right, get it out of your feet, either get the cross in, look to shoot, or look for the pass. It wasn't, you know, dribbling for dribbling's sake, or dilly-dallying on the ball. It was just very, very direct, straight to the point. And his movement as well, his awareness for the goal really impressed me, and he took it well as well. So it was a shame that his competitive debut for us was cut short, particularly after he'd opened the scoring because of a certain idiot.
Talking of certain idiots, there was another one on the subs bench. Lee Griffiths, the fact that he was even a sub was something, was it? I expected a lot of reaction from the fans in the ground, but from what I can gather, Griffiths really was just ignored. But I expected him to be going by the reaction in social media, and that's maybe where you see social media is indeed a bubble spunk phone, because, you know, the real life fans that were all there and everything that don't have social media never seem to react to the fact that we have a genuine creep warming up for us, which is unacceptable in my opinion. I know you feel the same, but I expected to hear some reactions from the fans in the stands, and we get nothing really.
I think there would have been some sort of reaction if he'd came on. You're definitely right in saying social media is a bubble. It's something I've certainly realised over the last couple of years. And there's different social media bubbles as well. I mean, on Twitter, like nearly everyone you see, 90%, 95% of the people I see want him at the door, never want him to play for Celtic again, think he should have got the jail. But then you look on, for example, Facebook or whatever it is, and it's a completely different opinion. There's folk defending him. There's, you know, I don't want to get too much into it, because at the end of the day, it's Gigpod, we're doing, you know, to catch a predator. But I think there might have been some sort of reaction if he'd came on for us. I suppose we'll see that in due course if he does come on for us. I certainly didn't want him anywhere near the club. After his latest shenanigans, I didn't want his contract renewed. I think he's another guy who's just a complete idiot, a complete liability. But I suppose we'll find out in due course what the general consensus is of match-going fans if he does get on for us anytime soon.
And amazingly enough, a guy who a lot of the fans said, I never want him near this club again, I would have actually personally started him. I would have started bowling goalie, the left ahead of Taylor. I'm not slagging Greg Taylor, I don't think he was terrible, but he never offered much of an attacking threat. But I thought bowling goalie certainly would have been a better option there.
The bowling goalie one's a weird one for me as well. I mean, I think, is he the better option than Taylor at the moment? Probably would have wanted him to stay at the club in an ideal scenario, probably not. But I mean, you saw obviously Ryan Christie, Edward playing tonight as well, who are players that we all think the general consensus is that they'll probably move on this summer. So I suppose it's about utilising the players that you've got at the moment. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't overly impressed with Greg Taylor tonight. I didn't think it wasn't his worst game for Celtic or anything, but as you say, he just doesn't offer any sort of a threat going forward at all.
I don't know if you saw, there's a photo Carol Starfelt put up on his Instagram. It's a photo of him watching tonight's game while he's eating a dinner. It looks like he's having a burger with some soup. I don't know, because I generally should know better, but I only know a lot of junk food. It looks like as if it's way be out my price range here. So certainly he's got a wee exercise bite behind him, and it looks as if he's in isolation just now. But he's keeping up his fitness there, keeping tabs on the club, and the sooner we can get him in, the better, so that we never need to endure another minute of that wasted at the back here.
No, definitely. It was you that actually sent me that photo initially. I hadn't actually seen it anywhere. And I was thinking it was your setup at first there, Stevie, but to be fair, I did see the exercise sort of bike in the background there and went, nah, no chance.
Exercise, never heard it, mate. So anyway, we will move on to the second half, and cheeky bastard, so yeah. Now, we're 1-0 up, and then Michelin go down to 10 men. And what I thought was very smart here was the guy, Dreyer, who went down like he did with Beaton It was a clear dive, but I felt what was smart about it was that Stephen Welsh had a really good game, I thought. He whopped the ref into giving him a red card because he reacted quickly. He was raging and he was right in the guy's face. He was pointing and he was saying to the ref, dive. We wouldn't have done that last season. We would have got conned last season. We would have been too nice. But it's clear that the manager has actually started saying to these players, no, don't be nice guys in the pitch anymore. Be widows, be smart, be streetwise. It's good to see that, isn't it? That guys like Welsh are learning from last season. A lot of the players are learning like that, and hopefully we're doing that more and just claiming for everything, because as we saw, it actually fucking works.
No, I said it on here last season at points. You've got to pressure the refs within reason, obviously, because then you'll just end up picking up needless bookings and yellow cards yourselves. But it was very clever for Welsh. I thought I had a very good second half, actually. He grew into the game, albeit I think he was a bit naive with the foul that he gave away in the lead up to the equaliser. But you know, that's going to happen when you've got such an inexperienced backline as we did tonight. But I thought he grew into the game and as you say, acted fast, and he was certainly quick to put pressure on the referee there, which again is something that I've said on here plenty of times, that we need to be looking to do more. The whole nice guy thing, it's bugged me for years now. Even when Rodgers was here, I don't think we had that sort of a ruthless edge in us at times, but hopefully it's something that we'll see going forward, because it is effective. Ultimately, we've seen it work against us down the years, so it's certainly something I think we should be looking to do more of when the opportunity comes up.
You mentioned the equaliser. We are going to have to talk about it on this humble podcast. I will happily hold my hands up. I've defended Vasilis Barkas all last season. I was on a grand old podcast with Hamish and John, said that he was going to be a very important player for us this season. Looked like he established himself in pre-season. Looked like, you know, he was more vocal. Looked like he wanted to be right involved with us. And for the most part today, he did nothing wrong. However, the equaliser, it's very hard for me to defend it and say I will. But, I mean, all this and then have a half-arsed excuse for Vasilis Barkas. The reality here is Vasilis Barkas was shocking for that goal, and there is huge question marks now over him. But I'm hoping that the next game he can redeem himself. I guess one of the positives from it is he seemed to get over it fairly quickly, at least in the game. If that was last season, we might have ended up collapsing, and that could have been 3 or 4, you know, the way we were. What was your thoughts on the big man?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really poor. I've been another one who's tried to be as positive as I could be about him, but he made a couple of good saves against Preston at the weekend, and you're right in saying he did have a quiet game. I looked up the XG. I know stats aren't really our sort of bread and butter, Stevie, but I think we'd limited them to something like it was really low. It was 0.12, judging by the app that I get my source my information from.
All right, Spunk Analytics.
Exactly, aye. But no, so I mean, he did have a quiet game up to then, and then I don't know what he was doing, to be honest. I really don't know. It looks as if he almost pulls his hands and his arms away.
It was very Craig Gordon against Ajax 2016, wasn't it? Oh no, was that 2015? It was, two each game, the one in Amsterdam.
Aye, you're right enough.
It reminded me of that one. I think it was, Lassie Sean that whips the ball in, and Gordon, it just goes right through him. It reminded me of that, and Gordon still get plenty of chances after that, so I'm sure Barkas will. But I think Barkas, if there's another mistake, you will have the knives getting sharpened for him, unfortunately. You're going to have a lot more critics, and it's going to then be that Ange, as we already know, seems like a serious man that doesn't take any crap. He's going to then start going, I will possibly have to doubt him and think, how can I improve this team? Because Ange is at the point where he's getting judged on everything, every decision he makes, everything that's happening on the pitch. It's all on him. So it's something Barkas really has to be careful about, but I'm sure he knows that anyway, and I'm sure it's been drilled into him after the game. What I thought was quite interesting, Spunkform, was after the match that Big Ange was actually saying that he didn't see it regarding the red card for Beaton, and he said with the Barkas goal, he didn't really see that either. Now, he was stressing the positives of guys like Murray, Welsh, Abada, and the leadership of Callum McGregor, and I think that's quite smart management, because we all know last season what Neil Lennon's reaction would have been and how the team would have you know, reacted from it. So I think that is quite good management from him. And he'll clearly be going through guys like Beaton and Barkas in the dressing room. But in public, at least he's not coming out and giving the media a tap in for the headlines to, you know, be snarling and put pressure on them. So that is a good sign.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think he said on Beaton, to be fair, I think he said they gave the referee a decision to make or whatever. But it wasn't, you know, overly negative or overly aggressive towards the two of them. And it is good management, like you say, go through them in the dressing room or, you know, whatever his management style is, I suppose, but at least, you know, get the point across to them that it's not good enough. But you don't then have to go and reiterate it to the press because it does just bring negative attention. So, I thought that was quite good management from Ange. I mean, a phrase we used a lot last season was Neil Lennon was throwing players under the bus. So it's been really refreshing listening to Ange in the media over the past few weeks. I think it was a nice change, to be honest, tonight to hear him talking about the positives and focusing on the positives of our play and the young players that had come in and featured rather than just using it to go through players.
Again, it was a generally decent performance from Celtic, but I felt there were four very impressive standouts for us, and they were, like, I don't know if you agree here, but I'll shout them off with you. Stephen Welsh, Ismail Asoro, Callum McGregor, and I thought Leah Wabada were the four players for us that, you know, really stood out in that team tonight. What about yourself? Who do you think did?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you there. I think Welsh certainly grew into the game. I thought second half he was excellent. Asoro was fantastic as well. McGregor, I thought led us excellently. Obviously, it's going to be a different type of captain and leader to our dearly departed bold captain, but I thought he was fantastic tonight, and Abada as well. As I say, before that idiot caused him to get subbed off, I thought looked fantastic, looked very direct, very exciting player, and hopefully we see more of him in the second leg.
Now the second leg is next Wednesday, July the 28th. I take it you remember that away goals are away for that one.
I do indeed, Stevie, thank God.
And that's why I don't think tonight is the big disaster that a lot of people seem to be saying on social media. But how do you feel about it next week if we were to go there with that same 11? Would you feel a wee bit apprehensive, or would you feel, no, we need to, you know, we need to maybe start guys like James Forrest for that one, or maybe shove wee TK up front? It's a joke to the audience.
I think there's always going to be a worry, I think, with the amount of inexperience in that back line. So you're obviously going to be concerned with that, I think. That's not something we can do a lot about at the moment. We're going to just have to go there and do our best with what we've got. But I think from looking at Michelin tonight, they weren't overly impressive. Like I say, I think they had 0.12 XG. They didn't create a lot. And I thought even the kind of guys you looked at in their team beforehand that were meant to be the danger players, Sisto, for example, didn't really cause too much bother, did they, for the bricklayer's apprentice at right back. So I think I'm a lot more confident, I think, going into that second leg than I was tonight, and particularly with no away goals now as well. I think it's one less thing to worry about going over there. So no, I think we've got enough to get through this tie. Whether we've got enough to get through the next round or the round after that, I suppose we'll wait and see. But I'm fairly confident, I think, going into next Wednesday. So I fairly expect us to lose 6-0 in Denmark now that I've said all that.
Well, the thing is as well, you know, Midtjylland won't play like they did at Celtic Park. They can obviously go up a few levels as well. I thought they were playing quite within themselves. As much as we can improve, so can they, and that's something we've got to be wary of. They can be beaten, when you remember, I know it's a couple of seasons ago, but Rangers did go there and trounce them as well. So it's not a mammoth task for us. It's going to be difficult, but at the same time, and as I've said, we can still improve, and I think Andrew will. I have the confidence and I have the faith that the big man will set us up to at least be in the best position to succeed with what we've got anyway when we go over there.
It's a plastic pitch over in Michelin, isn't it, as well? So suppose that's one other thing to try and contend with. I just came back into my head there, actually, when I was having a think about that. But I'm fairly certain, unless it's changed recently and I'm not aware of it, I think it is an artificial surface they've got over there. So they might have done away with away goals, but we've now got to worry about basically going to the Danish equivalent of the Tony Macaroni Arena. So
it's the Anthony Macaroni Arena to you. Sick. We have standards on this podcast, you know. But yeah, the next podcast is actually going to be after the second leg, so it's very likely. This is a pretty heavy one for the audience, so I'm going to have to be a wee bit serious here. I know that myself and Spunkphone are the worst people in the world to be talking about a serious subject, but we will likely be on for the foreseeable anyway, because Rizzo is in a very bad place just now. He's not dying, he's just in Maryhill, but genuinely... I was going to have a Frank Lampard, but seriously again. But no, Rizzo will be on at some point in the future. He is getting better, and we hope he gets well soon. Burn one for the big man. So, Spunkphone, you are going to be on with me next week, no doubt, as Celtic. Who knows how it's going to go, but it's either going to be patter if we fail spectacularly, or who knows, it could be a right good celebration and we could come on the podcast with a few bevies. So one way or another, that is what's going to be happening. And for the audience that want to know more about you, because bear in mind, we are getting a lot of downloads, not from social media, as I've been telling you. Where can the people that don't have Twitter and everything, where can they follow you?
And bear in mind as well, I've been banned that many times on Twitter now that most of the people that probably follow me beforehand are none the wiser to the fact that I'm still on that particular application. So thanks very much for this opportunity, Stevie. It's some shameless self promo. The listeners can find me on Twitter, just talking utter nonsense, at SPNKPHNE. I'd have a think about that there myself. And I also do occasional tweets on the GigPod account as well, so be sure to follow us on our socials.
You can find us at GigPod on Twitter and Instagram, and please give us a follow. As I said, for whatever reason, the majority of our plays and downloads are not via social media. So like Optimus Prime said at the end of Transformers, we are here, we are waiting. Catch you next week, and hail hail.
Podcast Network. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.